Egunon, sail ofizialeko amerikano filmaren prentzaurrekoa egiteragoaz. Buenos días.
Good morning. We're going to commence the press conference of the film of the official section, Americano. We have with us for this the director, Mathieu Demy, and also Geraldine Chaplin and actor Carlos Bardem, who are awaiting to answer your questions. So therefore, first question, please. First question.
Primera pregunta, por favor.
Please, first question.
Si no la formularé yo.
Otherwise, I'll ask the question. Monsieur Demy. How did you choose the actors and those things? Could you please tell us about that? How did you choose the cast? Well, first of all, what I wanted to do is to thank Geraldine and Carlos for being here today. I wanted to thank Geraldine and Carlos, as I was saying, for being here with me, accompanying me to back the film. I've had a lot of luck, because this is my first feature film and as a director, so therefore I've been very fortunate to have with us very marvelous actors like these. So therefore, above all and before anything, I want to thank them very much. After I chose, well, each actor according to their talent and what they all also what they represented, because it was important for me that each of them should be in their right place within the film. For example, Geraldine, who is the friend of the mother who lives in the United States. Well, she's an actress who I love very much and dearly, and I like very much. And due to her culture and filmography, she was the link between the United States and Europe. And for me, she was the perfect person to make the film to go from Paris to Los Angeles. And Carlos, I met Carlos, and the truth is, we were seeking someone, a character who was a villain, but I didn't want it to be someone who was too much of a villain, so therefore it was very interesting, so that when I had the fight with him, well, he's much larger than I am, but at the same time he's quite sweet and quite tender and he's very charming, but it was very interesting for the role that he had to portray. He's an icon of a villain, so therefore I wanted to be a certain level of delicacy there at the same time. And for the rest of the actors, the same thing. I asked Chiara to accompany me in this adventure as well, because it is true that we grew up together. Our parents were friends. Chiara takes her time to do things, and she's someone who's got, she has a very paused type of career, and she's becoming a very good actress. Her work is magnificent. And as regards Salma, well, it is true that when we arrived in Mexico and the film enters into a more oniric type of atmosphere or universe, it was very important to represent something different vis-a-vis this types of films, for a French film of this category. It is true that Salma adds another dimension, something that comes from abroad, from outside. That's very important, not only for the story, but also for the character she portrays. It's a character which is not a real character. So it was great to have such a luminous a very bright actress. It was, the truth be said, it was a pleasure to work with the whole cast, all of the actors. Hi, good morning. I'm going to ask you in Spanish. It's a question for Mathieu de Mee. How did you feel in this quote-unquote role as a director? And this is your first experience as a director. How did you feel making your first feature film and the homage and the tribute that the festival has given to your father? Thank you very much. The tribute that the film festival has given to your father, what do you think of that, the film festival, to your father, Jack Demy, okay? Okay. No, it's okay. Well, the second question, the homage, the tribute that the film festival, San Sebastian Film Festival, is offering a retrospective on your father, okay? What do you think about that?
Ah non, je parle français, moi. Non, mais on en a...
Well, we spoke about this last week, and for me, it has been, I feel very proud and I'm very thankful that everybody's had the opportunity of discovering Jacques Demy's films. It's marvelous because when you see his the entire filmography of a person, one has a much more precise idea, and it is true that coincidence has made it turn out that I'm at the festival at the same time with my film, presenting my first feature film. And for me, it has made me, well, feel very good. And it talks about family and the link between parents and children. And it's something which is very beautiful. Yes, the first question was, how did you feel with your as a director in your first feature film? Well, how was this experience for you? Yes, well, it was great. I had a really good time, the truth be said. It was obviously difficult to be with these actors and work and perform with them and direct them at the same time. But we had a really good time during the shooting of the film. And we, through the tributes and images, we made nods to films that were very important to me or cinema-type situations. Shall we say that what we tried to do was have a good time with cinema, so that the story was a bit lighter and a bit more content and a bit more joyful. So therefore, it was a very fun shoot of the film. It rained a lot in Los Angeles, and we spent the whole time with an umbrella in our hand throughout the shooting of the film. It rains 1 week per century in Los Angeles, and it was just when I had to shoot my film. And in Mexico, it was like an adventure, the shooting of the film, the truth is, because it was a small crew, small cast of French people going to both of these different countries. It was an adventure, and we really enjoyed it.
Okay. I think you as a young director will always be opposed or compared with your father, of course, because you're his son. And how come you then choose in the first film you make to actually choose one of his characters, like Lola? Because you would think that maybe you would like to, you know, distance yourself from your father, but you kind of did the opposite. And so one of his characters and have a new interpretation of that. Could you comment on that?
Yes, sure. Oui, bien sûr. Si, bueno.
Yes, well, it's quite clear. But there's no comparison, no possible comparison with my father. I have no pretense of comparing myself with my father, neither with my mother. And plus, it wouldn't be too bright or intelligent to do so. My father, as well as my mother, they are magnificent directors who have worked in a time in which creativity and the freedom of cinema was maximum at that time. I'm an actor. I just shot my first feature film in a period in which cinema, shall we say, is being questioned. So therefore, we can't make any comparisons with my father nor my mother. So therefore, I wanted to link something to the work of my parents in my first feature film, and that is to say to what extent this film is important for me, be it as a viewer, because seeing my father's films, or acting, because my mother had me as an actor and made me act in her films. So therefore, on the contrary, I think it's a way of saying that those films have been important for me, and also it's the same as the other nods I make vis-a-vis genre films in this first feature film of mine. What I've tried to do is to make a film of someone who likes movies, someone who's in love of cinema. Hi, Mathieu. A film is going to be premiered of Somewhere by Sofia Coppola, which I think in a different way, but it does talk about the same thing that you deal with, Americano, in your film. Perhaps the three of you on the panel can also talk about the issue of absences, people who are absent. This is one of the issues that you deal with in the film, your parents who have not been the entire... just as long as the kids would have wanted to. How do you deal with absences? Do you really think that's the issue of the film, that the storyline of the film, that it deals with absent people, people that are absent from their parents, from their kids? And it links to the film Somewhere by the director that you just mentioned. Yes, as regard absences, shall we say that, yes, the story deals with absent people, but the issue of the film is the strength of the link which joins the parents, children to their parents. But yes, the story does talk about the absence of people and the way we confront grief and sorrow, but I don't want to say that it's a story of grief or sorrow, because I think it's more the story of someone who don't wants to go through that period of grief and sorrow. And it also talks about the difficulty of absence. That is to say, for me, grief is one of the elements within the film that has to tell us the strength of that link which exists due to that absence. For me, the important thing was not so much to talk about absence, but to talk more about the links and the ties between people, because the film, when Martin decides to be a father, to a certain extent, he's telling us that he has re-established that tie or link that had been broken in the past with his mother. I'm not too sure whether you would like to add anything, both of you, as regards to the issue of absence. Absence exists, but like Mathieu says, I think it's a film that talks about something that we can all recognize, which is that link to our maternal figure, to our mother. By definition, at some time in life, we have all built or constructed, be it because of being in tune with that figure or affinity to that figure, we recreate people or our maternal or paternal figure. It's a figure which is interesting along those lines. It's a very courageous film. It's a very complicated issue to make a first feature film about an issue which is as delicate as addressing the issue of your parents. I think that's very difficult. I think it's an issue which is easily recognizable by all. We all at one time have felt that absence. We've all felt that figure quite strongly against that we needed to fight against it at a certain time in order for us to grow as people at a given moment and to talk about that. And just like Matthew says, more than absence, it talks about the unbreakable link generated between parents and mothers and fathers and children, and goes beyond the biological life of our parents. So therefore, I think it's great. And above all, it's good because it's not dealt with from an exaggeratedly melodramatic or dramatic way. It's a film which I think is a beautiful film, full of poetry and with a lot of sense of humor. And this is how these things should be dealt with at the end of the day.
Ahí atrás hay una pregunta.
There's a question at the back. I would like to ask you about the issue of these memories in the past. Was that in 8mm or 16mm when you talk about the it's the image of a documentary of your mother. Could you extend upon this, how you've inserted those images in the action of the film? Yes, it is a film of 1981, which is called Documentary, which is fiction, by the way, which was shot in Los Angeles when we lived there, in 16mm, by the way. Shall we say that in the film, it's not a continuation of that documentary or that film, but it's more of the character. Because my mother with my childhood memories made a sort of fiction, and I thought it was interesting to take that character, like a fiction character who lives in a movie, and to extend it into the film. And also, and due to that reason, and under my opinion, I think it's a film that talks about the death of cinema, of the love of cinema, not the death, he corrects himself, because it forms part of my childhood. I think that the 16mm texture of the film of the 1980s tells quite well how images and the texture of images has evolved over these years. And for there to be a certain answer in the films, we also filmed in 16mm. There are different dimensions for the use of those images that are used. It is to establish a link or a tie to the family and a link to fiction. And I think that's about it. I think that's all I wanted to say, yes. And that's quite a lot. Hi, Mathieu. Over here, just in front of you, right in front of you. There I am. What's the reason of starting at a bed scene and all of a sudden you find out about the death of your mother? How did you get the call from the director to interpret his mother's friend? The first question was, you started off, how did you make the decision of starting up in a bed scene and all of a sudden you find out about your mother's death? Okay. Well, the film, the story is about this man who loses his mother, who doesn't want to live through that grief. But the issue that sets that into is the story between Martin and Clara, and the child and the character of Clara, and the challenge of having a child or not. It's the beginning and the last scenes of the film obey, or at least respond to this issue of the commitment of maternity. I thought that this issue should be a little outside the story, so to speak, the storyline. I'm not too sure whether this answers your question. What I meant to say is, why go from one to the other? Is that what you're saying? Sorry, we can't hear the person from the floor. I'm sorry, we can't hear without a microphone in a moment. At the beginning, with the bed scenes, why did you start with the bed scenes and then you don't give your time to breathe to the viewer, at least the audience, so therefore you can tell about your mother dying? Why do you do it all of a sudden and so quickly without giving us time to breathe? Well, I'm sorry that you couldn't take a breather, but love and death, the life is like life. Life and death is something that is the same issue. That is, you create a link, a tie, and then it dies, and then it breaks. And so, therefore, it's a film that talks about the birth of life and also death. I think it's quite a classic issue, a classic association there. The truth is, Eros and Thanatos. How did I get the role when he called me? All my life, it's been I've done things because I've got friends. It turns out that my niece is a close friend of Batu, and when she was looking for an actress, she said, "Hey, my auntie, how about giving my auntie the job?" And she called me up and said, "Another, see, I know people. You got to know people. That's how you get jobs in this business." My niece Aurelia. Yes, with her I shot my first film as an adult actor, which is called A la Belle Étoile, about 20 years ago. And Aurelia, who is a marvelous actress as well. But the role wasn't for her, was it? A couple of questions for Geraldine, whether you've received any special indications by the director during the shooting of the film, or whether you've met the other women or actresses in the film, because I don't think there's any moment that you do during, I don't know. And can you talk also about your relationship with Spain, because it seems that you worked here and have worked here and quite a lot. And you work a lot with Spanish directors, or with some of them. Could you talk a bit more about this, go further in depth? Mathieu has taught me a lot, first of all, because he's an excellent director, and plus he's a director, a fabulous director of actors, because he's a splendid actor himself. So therefore, it's been very interesting seeing direct and act. I thought it was going to be impossible. But the truth be said, he's... But the truth is, he did it wearing himself out and 24 hours a day, 24/7 working. I think it must be the loneliest profession to be a director in the world, I think. And he transformed himself from a director to actor very, very, in a very agile manner, the truth is. And what else did you ask me? Oh, no, I didn't meet the other actresses. I really felt like meeting them, but I didn't get to meet them. We didn't coincide at all. I only did the Los Angeles part of the shooting of the film. And your relationship with Spain and directors. Well, Spain, well, I lived in Belize over 45 years, I believe, living in Spain. So therefore, it's not a relationship. It's like an old marriage with Spain. I adore this country and its people. It's my home. Any further questions? Yes, in the center there. Hi. For Carlos, what does it feel like hitting the director? It was a pleasure to hit the director and punch him. It was marvelous. It's great. It's great in every film that you can punch the director in every film you make. No. Like Geraldine says, it's been beautiful and great to work with Mathieu, because the truth is, he's a magnificent actor. And so therefore, he knows very well how to talk to actors. So therefore, it was very easy to work with him. And then it was quite surprising, because of the energy that he had when he was with you rehearsing, and all of a sudden he took off and got behind the camera and so on and so forth. So he was very generous. And he's a guy who's got a lot of talent, and above all, and I insist, he's a magnificent, magnificent actor, and I think you can see that easily in the film. Thank you, thank you. Well, what we could also say, and I think it's quite funny as well, that with vis-a-vis the confidence and the trust that the actors gave to me, I want to thank Carlos very much, because the first time we went to shoot with Carlos in Tijuana, and that was that scene that we had to fight that we were talking about, and Carlos got arrived with all the jet lag to Tijuana, to the set, with a lot of French people that spoke in French, and he didn't understand what the hell was going on. And I said, well, listen, we're going to rehearse a lot. The camera's going to go around us. Don't worry, no problems. And at the end, everything changed. I changed everything at the last minute, and I decided that it was much more fun to deal with it as if it were a Western. And so, therefore, we weren't free at all. I changed everything. And I think that Carlos had to undertake all of the weight of the role he had to play. And he could have gotten frightened because he just arrived on the set. But no, such was not the case. The truth is, everything turned out well. And it just demonstrates the trust that the actors had in me. And the truth is, I thank them infinitely, because when one shoots a film, you never know exactly which way we're going or where you're going. We seek things and we look for things. You should hit him. He changed everything on the first day. I get there, jet lag. I was very motivated to punch him in the scene because he changed everything as soon as I arrived. Congratulations for the film. And on the other hand, I would like to ask you, what was the experience of directing yourself? Because sometimes there are many examples of directors who have acted in their own films in many, and as Geraldine has mentioned, but what's it like to separate? How do you separate the role as a director and then be an actor? And obviously, you know what you want from yourself, but sometimes, have you used any sort of anyone to advise you or to counsel you or any technique to do that? How did you go about that? In fact, I think you have to trust your instinct here. I think so. I've tried to be methodic, because you can't do everything at the same time. And also, you need to rehearse a lot with the actors to see how things are going to work. Then you have to ask yourself, how do we want things to be seen? Go back to the camera. Ask someone to show what it looks like on the screen. It's a method. We have to be very organized. And it's an interesting exercise, because it obliges you to cut your line of thought. The character, well, I performed very intuitively the character I portray, because I had the feeling that he was a character who was living through a situation that was too serious for him, and we had to act naturally with a certain distance, perhaps ironical distance, to create a contrast. But I don't know how this works and how everything's worked at the end and how it's worked out, but it's been a genuine experience.
This is a question for Matthew and Geraldine, whether you had discussed or worked out among yourselves the backstory, the history of the relationship of the mother and your character and Lola, because it's left somewhat ambiguous in the film for us to, I guess, decide for ourselves what had happened among those three people. But was that something that you thought about and discussed, or had like a story in your mind of what it would be?
I can tell you that I know what happened between them, but I never told Mathieu.
Oui, et le film aussi.
Yes, the film can also be seen from Martin's point of view. So therefore, there are a lot of questions arise, but no answers are given. It's a bit ambiguous. We don't know exactly what was the relationship between these three characters, but I have not wanted to give an answer to those questions or to that question because it was more a fantasy that the parents project upon their children more than an answer to that question. And the idea was that the character had not known his mother too well because the link was so strong, he projected things and he imagines things, and these are his own fantasies, and the film at the end of the day does not give answers to what really is going on. The film tries to give another answer than that the intimate life of his mother is not the problem. The problem of the character is to try to understand that his mother loved him, that he also loved his mother, and that tie or link can be created again. And he understands that these are stories between adults, and we have to leave adults to be in their place and the children in their place. It's something along those lines. But Geraldine knows everything, by the way, about it. I would like to ask a question. I arrived late to the press conference. Can you listen to me in French? I'm speaking in French now. After watching the film, we've asked ourselves a lot of questions, at least in my case. There are things that are in the shade or in shadow, but that's... Is this something that you've already answered? Like, for example, who was Lola? And at the end, we don't know too well. Rosita in the cemetery at the end of the film, we've got Lola, and then there's Rosita. And it seems there's an amalgamation there. It's a link there. I didn't understand things. That's my question. I didn't understand all that about Rosita and Lola. How was that link? How did that work? Well, I'm not too sure, but I've got the feeling that it's quite understandable. But there's a character called Rosita, another character who's called Lola, but who died quite a time back. That's the explanation, simple as that, really. Well, the explanation, Carlos's character, the Lola that the mother, that of Martin's mother, had gone through that bar and then she died. And the character of Rosita is another character. It seems that seems to be quite clear, or at least it's quite clear in my mind. Did you all understand that? The rest of you? Thank God for that. I would like to ask you, I'm over here, at the back there, yes. Over here. I'd like to know whether it makes, well, at least whether you give any meaning to the fact that the mother leaves the paintings, the sentimental value of the paintings to the son. However, the flat, the apartment, and the material leaves it to the other person. Does that have any meaning or not in the film? The inheritance of the house and the paintings, if you catch what I'm saying. Yes, of course, it has a meaning or significance. Leaving the paintings for him, it's an inheritance which is much more intimate. It's a closer, more intimate sort of link or tie. And it's also very interesting that the character be to receive that legacy because he doesn't want to confront. He runs away. He escapes. and he thought he was going to inherit the apartment or the condo, but then that doesn't happen. But it's important for him that he thinks in something material, and then his mother takes it to something that's much more at a sentimental, more personal, artistic level, okay? And the paintings are paintings that my father painted, and we used those paintings in the film. Not the one I broke, by the way. The other one's a false painting. It's not the real one, okay? I would like to ask you, the film was, it reminded me of Paris, Texas. Perhaps that will surprise you. I'm not too sure what's the journey, more the emotional journey of the protagonist. What are your references from a cinematographic standpoint? Thank you very much. It is true that Paris, Texas is a film that I admire very much. And amongst those nods to cinematographic references that I make, it's quite clear that there are things that reminded me of Paris, Texas. For example, Salma's hairdo, it's the same wig that Anastasia Kinski wears. So these are small nods to those films. But Paris, Texas forms part of the films that have impressed me from a visual standpoint. And there is also a certain proximity vis-a-vis the subject matter and the storyline and the link between parents and children. But thank you very much. It makes me great to feel that you detected this. And there are also other influences, films of my parents and my mother and my father, films, cowboy films, westerns, road movies. There's quite a variety of influences. Then in contemporary cinema, well, it'd be a long story to tell, but there are many, many works and films that I admire. It would take a long time to tell you the whole story. Any further questions? Yes, it seems this will be the last question at the back there. I would like to know what's going to be your next project and whether you're going to participate as an actor, as the main actor as well. What's the film that you're preparing now and whether you're going to be an actor in it as well? Well, what I want now is to take a rest, okay? But I've already started to work on another project. I'm going to continue to perform as an actor because this film has taken a lot of time. And it has obliged me to leave several projects pending, that is to say, as an actor, and I like to my work as an actor. So I'm going to go back to my career as an actor. I'm going to go back to it, and therefore I want to start to work, but it takes time. I need time in order to do these things. So therefore, let's talk in 2017, perhaps, I don't know. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.